Y'all may be seated. I'm so thankful. Do we have a keyboard player up in the house? I'd like for you just to kind of just do your thing. When I was praying, getting ready to come to Tampa, I love Tampa because, you know, I was telling my awesome armor bearer today about how the last time you let me come, you were one of the first churches that I preached in a long time ago. Yeah. And I look back to what God has done, and there's some of you that walked into this room tonight and you have been asking God for some things in your life. You've been asking God for some breakthroughs. You are having a bargaining with God right now, saying, God, I'm doing everything that I know to do. I just need a break. I need someone to believe in me. I need someone to give me a platform. I need someone to see me over here baking awesome cupcakes so I can open Gigi's Bakery. I just need somebody to give me a break. Has anybody ever been in here? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you kind of feel like you're in a season of invisible. Everybody's getting blessed but you. That person down the street's partying and going crazy and ain't living right. And here you are doing everything right. And you can't keep your marriage together. You can't keep money. You can't keep your job. And the enemy gets you. He doesn't get you in the material things. He's not after your now. He's after your 2 years from now. He's after your future. Because he got kicked out of heaven. He used to be the apple of God's eyes, right? And now he's mad because you are. And so where he gets you at is he begins to discourage you and make you want to give up. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you walked up into this house, that by the time you leave this room, you are going to have some courage. You are going to have some strength. You're going to know that God has a purpose and a destiny for your life, that he has not forgot about you, boo. He had forgot about you. And I just thought about it just even when I walked in tonight, and I just thought about just 3 years ago. And look what God has done in 3 years. I was still working at Bloomingdale's. That's why you can't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. That marriage that seems like it's over, it's gonna prosper. The enemy gets you in your mouth. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of your words. And he's become and attached himself to you, the stupid punk devil. And he's trying to discourage you so you can't even open your mouth and say nothing. And if you're not saying nothing, you're not creating nothing. And some of you are creating the wrong things because you're saying the wrong things. I know how hard it is to feel strength and hope when everything is falling apart. But my God says in Ephesians 3:20 that he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. He says in the Bible that he's working all things together for your good. You may be going through cancer for the third time, but I promise you one thing. He's working all things together for your good. In 2006, I found myself the only one in my family that couldn't keep a marriage together. Probably drove the dude to drink because of my mouth. And the enemy gets us because he begins to, when we have failures and setbacks. I was raised in a religion, United Pentecostal Church. All the men looked like they stepped out of GQ and women looked like they drowned rats, man. What? I remember thinking, God, you hate me! Because I remember at a very young age, like being raised in this UPC, and all these women look like drowned rats. Like, what do we do so wrong? I mean, it's not just that my mama couldn't wear makeup. I was like, Mama, drop me off down there at the corner. I don't want nobody to see that oatmeal box up on top of your head with your hair wrapped around it and your blue jean skirt and your kids. I just let me off. But not only was I watching this as a young age and watching how the pressure was on us women, but I also started realizing that, man, women, we get an unfair, it's unfair. If y'all get to heaven before me, if you see Eve, you better punch that broad in the middle of the, I'm talking Boing show stars. Because if that broad would have just stayed in her lane, if that broad would have just been obedient, we can't stand submission to this day. Eve should have taught us something. If Eve would have stayed in her lane, we'd been walking down the broccoli aisle. Hey, Johnny, what's up? We're just popping babies out everywhere. I mean, but for some reason, because we women are so powerful, see, when God created Adam, he created Adam because he needed a golf buddy. But when he created Eve, man, he created us because we have purpose. Because we have destiny. Because when you get a room full of women in one place, honey, when we begin to pray, what? We won't let up. We will literally be grabbing Johnny out when he goes to school. We'll be taking our Crisco out and anointing our doors. And we'll be chucking everybody out of hell. That's why he wants us out. That's why. And in that season is when I started realizing, we came out of UPC, and I was in special ed. Y'all can laugh. I was in special ed in that season because I'm healed. See, because what the enemy does is he begins to make you feel stupid. He tells you that ain't nobody going to ever love you. He tells you, he gets all the shame built up around you, right? So that you don't want to ever become prosperous, because he knows where you're headed. And so he don't want you to get there. He knows one day that you're going to write a book, and whenever you get that book deal, all of a sudden you're going to remember you're in special ed. So all of these things, I remember it being a very pivotal season in my life. We started coming out of UPC. All of a sudden we could cut our hair. You can just hang with me. You don't have to play the whole time. Just whenever you hear me getting crunk. When you feel me getting lit, I want you to wind me up. It's too hot up here to get wound up. I'm one that runs across the pews. I mean, I'm like taking off. I'm like, but right now I'm like this, try not to move. Because I don't want to sweat no more. And then I tried to be grown tonight. I never preach in heels, ever. Like, my feet are freaking killing me. I always wear combat boots. I ain't taking them off. I can't. I'll be looking like a ghetto. Y'all be like, girl, go back to your ratchetness. Your ratchetness. I am a little ratchet. I'm a whole lot of righteousness. What? Because people with the worst past create the best futures, boo. People with the worst past, we will go through hell and come out on fire. See, the devil knows that once you take a licking and keep on ticking, he knows that you're going to have a mouthpiece. See, whenever you were born, hell heard purpose, destiny, the doctors heard, what? I'm seeing so many of my Facebook family, what? Oh my God. See, y'all think that little thumbnail, I can't tell. I know who you are. And I am that Facebook stalker. I know every time you put on your relationship status, you in a relationship, and a week later, it's complicated. I see. And I'm praying for you to get in one of my meetings so you get free, right? You get them emotions under control. What? We over there hashtagging Proverbs 31. Y'all don't even know what Proverbs. Have y'all ever looked at Proverbs 31, woman? Like, this broad, she don't just, listen, this broad will make you scared to death be a woman. This broad didn't just cook for her husband. She planted the seeds and grew stuff. She didn't just lay his clothes out and go shopping for him, but she sewed his clothes. Proverbs hashtag, y'all don't even know. When I finally got a clue that I wasn't no Proverbs, really not. I'm just really, I can't cook. I can't sew. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you might not could cook or sew, but you can make some good reservations, baby. You can get some Chinese food. You see, it's all about perspective. Honey, we walking around hating ourselves. It's almost like the enemy gets us because he allows us women. I don't know about you, but I'm married to a 59-year-old man. This dude can eat ho-hos at midnight. And I am looking at him. I am not eating any of his ho-hos, and I'm getting back boobs. Like, I literally up in heaven, I'm thinking, I'm not even kidding. I hit like in my 40s, and that's all she wrote. It's like all of a sudden, I got like, what is that? Look, I intentionally, when I'm raising my hands to worship, I'm tightening my triceps. Because if I don't, I will give myself a black eye. And I'm thinking, God, really? And then we get the Spanx mentality. Girl, what? We will sit on the couch eating bonbons, scratching our behind, and the doctor's telling us, girl, you better get in the gym, because if you don't get in the gym, what? You're going to die of diabetes. You're like, give me some Phentermine. And then you go and get you in them girdles. I'm going to tell y'all something about them girdles. All right, let's talk about this, because some of y'all in here about to die right now, because with your weave and your Spanx, you put your weave and your Spanx on, you about to pass out. Your blood pressure is out the roof. I've been sitting up here tonight thanking Jesus I got set free from long hair. I'm like, won't do it. I'm telling you, that bra, what? Yes. I'm going to be like Beyonce up here. All my steps going to be flowing. Now, see, if I had long hair right now, it'd be cool. It'd be like the glory of the Lord is on her. And we get that Spanx mentality. Honey, I'm not even kidding. I'll never forget. For some reason, after I had my son, I had both of them C-section. Well, I'm thinking, I don't know why, but when you're pregnant, I don't know if y'all understand this, or if you probably, I'm sure you did, because we all the same. I thought after I had this kid that I was going to get back in a size 2. I came out a size 6. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to get in a size 2. And I remember I wanted to get in it before my high school reunion, right? I had 5 weeks. I went to the gym and I told him, I said, sir, I want to get back into my little size 2. He goes, I don't think your bones will fit in a size 2. So I go get me a Spanx. I went from a size 14 to a size 2. It took me an hour to get in it. I'm sweating my makeup off by the time I get in it. I finally get in, I walk out, my husband goes, hubba, 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 baby. I went, open the door! I was angry, because see what happens with us women is we try to take care of the outside, right? Our body's on fleek, our eyebrows on fleek, our body's a snatch. We drinking greens all day long, we all healthy, but we so angry inside because we really want a Big Mac. But when we get to that place where we can stand in the mirror, I'm going somewhere with this. This is not just comedy night. It might be. Every once in a while, I'll get in some meetings. I'll be like, girl, you better preach. Stop making them laugh. The harder you laugh at me, the longer I'm going to joke. Because my mind is thick. I'm looking at y'all finding stuff. I have things going on in my head right now. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, you got to start with your core. He says, see, what we do is we want something instant. We don't want the process. And anything that's awesome in life, anything that is going to cause you to move from the back of the line to the front of the line, it's going to take a cocoon experience where you feel all by yourself. You feel discombobulated. You feel like you ain't got no friends. I'm telling you, people that God uses the most are the ones that's got the most haters, huh? You trying to figure out why your haters hate you so bad, because we want everybody to love us, because we care more what people think about us than what God knows about us. We walk around walking into church looking at that girl like, don't like her. Because the enemy wants us to stay disconnected from each other. He don't want us to start taking a look on the inside of us. He tried to take you out long before you were ever even a thought in your mother's womb. You were in your mama's womb, and the enemy was already working in your family tree, baby. He was already going around making your daddy go to porn and making your mama say, get out of the house every other day, because they were hoping that your mama would abort you or have a miscarriage. So that you wouldn't get here, because he knew that you were going to come into a place like this in Tampa, Florida, and you were going to get an awakening, and you were going to realize, I don't know if today I'm going to get better, if tomorrow I'm going to get better, it might be next week or 10 years from now. Oh, but I ain't staying here. The enemy allow us to walk around with this family secrets. We can't talk about our family. We can't talk about that uncle that molested us. We can't talk about those family things because our families are threatening us. Don't you dare say anything. Don't you dare. We are protecting people that didn't even protect us. And we are dying on the inside of us because our souls are being eaten up and causing unforgiveness, is causing fibromyalgia and lupus and high blood pressure and cancer and breast cancer. Because we don't want to talk about overcoming. Because if we talk about overcoming, then it means we've had something to overcome. So we would rather walk around and act like we can't tell our stories. We can't tell that we've been divorced. And in 2006, when I found myself, I was raised in that UPC where it said, if you get divorced, you're going to hell. When I finally realized, I ain't got no choice. I found myself in a bush. Because sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you everything. It will make you be a ride or die for somebody that's beating your tail. Because religion has told you that if you get divorced, you're going to hell and God can't never use you. So you're in there saying until death do us part and you're about to die and you won't talk to nobody because we are afraid of what that person that pees and poops just like you is going to say about you. Holds us hostage. Causing us to go look and compare ourselves with, I hope to God one day. We all get lives as good as we portray on social media. Causing us to compare ourselves. We're over here watching our best friend that's got it going on. She gets to go to the gym every day. She got Adele tickets for $700. And I'm going to be, hello, from the parking lot. And so we're comparing, wishing to God we had all that she has. Her bloody bottoms and her Gucci bag and her nice weave and her body's on fleek. And why can't I? Now I'm over here with 5 kids hanging on me. My husband's flipping burgers. Her husband looks like he stepped out of GQ. Mine stepped out of DQ. And we're walking around comparing ourselves. And that's what we've done our whole life. How's that working for you? You've got an anointing on the inside of you. I don't care if you've been divorced 3 times. I don't care if you have a football team up in heaven with the abortions you've had. I'm telling you as of tonight, my God says that once you come to know Him, all things have passed away and He's made you brand new. We'll walk through life just so broken, ladies. And we got the biggest mouths. We're making sure every man that comes into our life after our divorce, we make it, I don't need no man. He's like, bye, Felicia. And then we walk around saying, I don't need no man, because really what the enemy is telling you that just like you ran off the other ones, you're gonna run off this one. So you just want to guard your heart because that's what we're good at, because we don't really believe He's a good Father. We don't really believe. Because others have abandoned us, so He's gonna abandon us because He's not there for us either. And so we walk around just at night just having thoughts come to our minds and replay memories. And we keep picking wounds that never can heal because we keep putting our hearts back into the hands of those that keep breaking it. We keep being Facebook stalkers on Facebook and we keep going over there telling, I'm doing a Facebook friend purge. If you don't hear from me, it's because you've been flushed. Because I'm tired of the drama. You are the drama. Because what I've discovered about us women is that when we get healed, we don't care. We're not out there comparing ourselves to anybody. And what you're going through right now, you might have had a life of hell. You might be staring at all these, you take 5 steps forward and 10 steps back. You may be on WIC stamps and food stamps, eating that hard cheese and that cereal that crunches and breaks your teeth. And embarrass you yourself every time you go to the grocery store. It's part of your story. When I went through my divorce, I lost everything. Not only did I lose all my money, my house, my cars. I had an interior design company for 13 years. Ran away from God. Figured if this dude wasn't going to be saved, then I might as well join the party. So I became the party. I nay-nayed and didn't pray. Yeah. And I figured I might as well join them because I wasn't going to get divorced because that church mama, I could hear in my head saying, girl, submit. I'm like, I'm trying. And then I would hear, till death do you part. I'm going to die. I'm about to die.
Come on now.
And at that moment in that season when I had to make a decision, we all get to that place, guys, where we're waiting for God to be a genie in a bottle, and he's waiting for you. For the last 2-3 years, you've been saying, I'm just waiting on God. But if you're in the same place you were 2 or 3 years ago, you ain't waiting on God. He's waiting on you. If we can push stuff out of places that nothing that 9 pounds should come out of, don't you think you got the strength and the courage to come through what you're going through right now? Because God says that if you're there, you're supposed to be there. Where you're at right now, you've been begging and praying God to change your situation. But all along, he's been waiting for that situation to change you. And I found myself in a bush, literally running for my life. And I couldn't tell anybody because we're ride or dies. We will literally stay in a relationship that is tearing us down because we are afraid to leave. We would rather be in a toxic relationship than be in no relationship. We would rather settle for someone beating on us and telling us how bad we are. You made me drink. You made me beat you. You made me. And we are sitting there just like a little bitty old whip puppy. Because we'd rather stay in that than be alone because we are so broken down on the inside of us. And it's because you've got a purpose and a destiny on the inside of you. And so the enemy is fighting you with everything he can. And all the doors that you continue to open, whether it's going to the bar on the weekends, whether it's having drugs and alcohol, cutting yourself in a closet, you have got to be intentional about realizing that if you can push life out of you, then you can say no to the addiction. You can say no to the alcohol. You can say no to laying with men that ain't your husband. And I laid in that bed. I had to move back with my mom and daddy. 36 years old. Talk about dignity gone. I tried to get away from this woman. I wasn't married just once. I was married twice. And I found myself back in this place after I had sang for Rod Parsley all over the world. And I remember me and that man would get up and lead praise and worship. And we, you provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. As long as I don't have to forgive my ex. We have so much brokenness down on the inside of us that we play church all the time. And when I found myself in that bush that night, I laid there for 5 hours crying my eyes out. Because you will always have a place and a time in your life where you finally say, enough is enough, devil. I'm coming and getting my stuff. You will finally get away from being pitiful and you're going to find your powerful. You will have a mark moment in life where you finally say, I'm tired of laying in this bed depressed. I'm tired of crying over that relationship that ended 3 years ago. I'm tired of wondering what I could have done differently for him to stay with me and not leave with my best friend. I wish if he could just tell me what I did wrong that I could have fixed it. You didn't do nothing wrong. Rejection is not necessarily someone wanting out of your life, but it's somebody that God needed out of your future. I laid in that fetal position in my mom and daddy's house. My 2 sons, I felt like the biggest failure on the planet. Church folk talking about me because that's what they do. They love to talk about your skeletons while theirs are in their closet screaming. And everybody talking about me. And I was like, God, I want to defend myself. He said, don't you dare defend yourself. He said, you live so nobody believes that I'm going to vindicate you. You get better. You start allowing me. You stop looking horizontally and be vertical before me and allow me to do a work on the inside of you. I had always aborted the mission. Because, see, this is what happens. At 18 years old, I got married, running away from my mom and daddy, running away from religion. It lasted 6 months, so I thought that thing didn't count. And when God told me you're going to start talking about it, I was like, I ain't talking about that. I'll never have a pulpit. I'll never be able to talk about. I will be at Bloomingdale's for the rest of my life. I was 18 years old. It lasted 6 months. If I passed him on the street right now, I wouldn't know who he was. So it doesn't count. He said, oh, you're about to get healed so you can start talking about it. Because that mess that you're holding on to is something that is going to set people all over the world free. Your testimony, what you're walking through right now, is not even for you. It is for your audience that is watching you, watching you. And instead of detesting the storm, we should be thanking God. Thank God for that bankruptcy. Thank God for the cancer. Thank God you trusted me with divorce, because through it is where I got my anointing. If we never hit rock bottom, how do we really find out who the rock is at the bottom? Because when everything's going great, we don't pray. We only go after Him whenever we've screwed up our lives. And then we get mad at Him for the storms that we created. And I find myself back in that house, and I had a Mercedes, and I mean, I was banking, y'all. That's what the enemy will do. He'll allow you to stay banking and have a great life so that you never need to come to Jesus, right? Because the enemy will bless you just like Jesus does when he knows that there's a purpose and a plan on your life. You thought you were being beat because you just deserved this, because maybe in baby heaven you were bad. Oh no, honey, that's not what you're going through it for. You're going through it because the enemy is fighting you because you are strong and not weak. You are a dynamite. You are a game changer. And I remember I moved back in with them. And I would lay in that bed every night. You hate me! I was a brat, for starters. Screaming, you hate me! And I heard God say, I don't hate you. But you can stay right here as long as you want to. Because see, what happens is, when you go through a transition in life, something traumatic in life, you lose everybody. Yeah. Yeah. All those people that used to call you, where they at? They love to ride with you in that car as long as you got gas, but you let that gas run out. Where they at? Where they at? Yeah. And so you find yourself in that broken place, that caterpillar position, where you're like this little round, hairy, it's out of place. You don't fit anywhere. And you find yourself in that cocoon experience, where you can't fly yet, but you're refusing to crawl because something's about to be birthed. And you finally realize, I can't go no lower. So God, I surrender. Oh, just go on in with me. Go home, take my pride. And watch what God will do. Found myself in that bed one night screaming out to God. I said, why couldn't you heal my marriage? Why couldn't you just take that alcohol? You made billions of people in this world. Why couldn't you just help my marriage? Because, dude, I love this dude. He told me I was blessed to have him. I believed him. Yeah. I went back like 9 or 10 times like a fool, prolonging the mission. Yeah. And that night I'm laying in my bed. I said, why couldn't you have healed him? If you are God and you hate divorce, then why couldn't you have healed my marriage? 17 years gone down the tube. I don't want to train another man. And God said, don't. You stunk at it. I need you to get better, because see what's happening, Kimberly, is you keep jumping ahead of me. And then you're not getting what you want. You're getting what you are. Broken attracts broken. Broken attracts broken. Toxic attracts toxic. And so that I lay there that night and I said, why didn't you heal it? And I heard the Lord say, you didn't one time ask me if that was your husband. My God. You didn't one time. See, God gives us all kinds of red flags, but we jump into it because our biological clock and our fallopian tubes are drying up and we want to have children. And so we jump into relationship with that bow chicken wow wow. And then we got to marry this dude and live with Satan and pretend we're happy because we jumped ahead of God. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. He said, how can I make someone do anything, because everybody has free will? There's some of you in this room tonight, and you walked into this room and you said, God, I need a word from you. I can't let go. I am broken in a million pieces. I don't know what's going on with my life. I've got to have a word. And God just spoke to me just now and said, you know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. Because it's that still small voice on the inside of us. See, we wait for God to go, lo, Kimberly, don't go right, you're going to be sorry. When in reality, it's that still small voice on the inside of you that tells you what you need to do. But it ain't usually what you want to do. But it's always the best thing to do. So finally, I laid in that bed and I said, okay, fine. Then take the pain away from me. I was a brat. And he said, I can't take the pain away from you. You got to give it to me. My God. You got to get up and walk away from that depression, Kim. Depression ran in my family forever. My grandma was in crazy hospitals. My dad's family was players and in crazy. I mean, everybody. I had it all in my lifeline. And that some of you in this room, you can't seem to break free. You're like, I don't know why. I get 10 steps ahead and I fall back. I've been on Ambien. I'm going to tell y'all something. The world will put you on Ambien and Xanax. Xanax to get up and Ambien to go to sleep, because the enemy does not want you to realize the power that's on the inside of you, which is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, baby. You got the power to lay hands on yourself and say, depression, you gotta get out. And I tell you one thing, I started realizing my power. Raised in a preacher's home, I would shout, wow, in church. I even had the graceful fall. I would fall and I'd go, because I really didn't want nobody to come lay hands on me. I didn't really want anybody to know what dirtiness was on the inside of me, because I didn't like me, so they wouldn't like me. And so in this season of my brokenness, when I finally said, God, I'll do it. I won't abort this mission, and I will give you 1 year. Like, I'm telling him. He's up in heaven saying, 1 year, what? Okay. I said, I'll give you 1 year. I won't date nobody. And I'm going to do nothing, but I will learn everything that I can about you. I won't turn on no lemonade. I won't be listening to Beyonce. I'm going to be listening to preaching. And it's going to be my Bible school. Because I'm telling you something. Devil, you're going to wish to God you would have messed with somebody else. Because I'm about to get well. And when I get well, I'm going to come out and kick your punk teeth down your throat every day of my life. I'm not walking around like a zombie another day. I'm not taking Ambien to go to sleep and Xanax to wake up. I'm breaking it off my family so my children don't have to go through it. And all that mess does is makes you fat. You wonder where your food's going. In the middle of the night, you eating it. Because Ambien makes you go to the refrigerator. You wonder why you getting fat. You eating all the food in your fridge. And listen, if you are on that stuff, don't you think I'm fussing at you. I used to be on it. That's why I can talk about it. I was getting fat and having back boobs and everything. Didn't know why. My lunch was gone. I'd have spaghetti sauce all over my mouth when I woke up. Because I was walking around at night just getting food. And even if you're on it right now, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes you need some help to get over that hump. But you got to make up in your mind, this is not where I'm staying. I'm not going to end up dependent on all of this medication that doesn't even allow me to deal with the issue. It just numbs me from the pain. That night I was laying in that bed. He said, are you ready for this to start? And I said, I sure am. He said, well, you know, I've been laying in bed just depressed, crying a river every night, letting a whole little season in life define my whole lifetime. I was a victim in my own story. I was mad at God for the storms I created. And I heard him say, well, you're going to have to go get a job. You know that, right? I was like, oh, a job? Me? Like a 9-to-5? Because that's when we got to pay attention. Proverbs 4 says to guard your heart. Because in the seasons of you losing everything and losing your spouse, and he gets to move off with a woman and have kids with somebody else, and now you got to get a job, you got to grieve, you got to go through pain, and you got to hold it together. Honey, what? And I found myself in that place, and the only place in Fayetteville, Georgia was a Belk. It is a Kmart on crack. Now, y'all know I was raised UPC, which meant I didn't know how to do no makeup. I lost everything. I had no dignity. I had no pride. And now I got to walk up into Belk and I got to get a job. God, you hate me. How long is this going to last? He said, until you can humble yourself. I went from a Mercedes to a knockoff Bentley. My God. A Chrysler. And that hoopty sat on the side of the road. Anytime I went over 10 miles, I sat on the side of the road. heat would be barreling out of my trunk, and I mean out of my front part right there, whatever it's called. I would sit there on side of 75 just letting it cool off while all the cars. You talk about, I literally thought God hated me and I was on his hit list. But see, what I didn't understand is in your pain is where your purpose is found. I hated people. I didn't like people. I couldn't stand religitards. And so what God was about to do was he had to break me, take me to Belk. I walk in there, she goes, girl, I got the perfect job for you. I was like, that was easy. You're going to make $9 an hour. I'm like, what? Like, I can afford romaine noodles with that maybe, because you can buy a whole carton for $5. I mean, I was just a victim. Just. And she said, Estee Lauder. I said, no! I don't know how to do makeup, and I can't stand women. And they said, well, that's all we got, chick. I walked out of that place with my head tucked in between my tails. I was like, OMG, like, I am going to make these people look like clowns because I don't know what I'm doing, but I got to take the job. So I go and I hear the Holy Spirit say, girl, go Google it. Go Google how to do makeup. It is a woman. Google has all the answers because it's a woman. I go home and I start Googling how to do makeup. I'm going somewhere with this. I start Googling how doing makeup, right? I decide I'm going to do the naturals, the natural look. I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, Kimberly, see, this is why he separates you from everybody. This is why you lose all your friends going through transition. Because you don't talk to him. See, we can take it to the throne instead of the phone when we ain't got nobody. We start learning to hear his voice very clearly. And in Joel 2:25, he said, I'm going to give you back everything the devil stole from you. And our God ain't like Buddha, baby. You get yourself right, and all of a sudden he starts restoring time. I could have gotten mad, but I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, Kimberly, he said, nobody would be coming and sitting in your chair if they knew what they were doing. If they knew how to do makeup, they wouldn't be sitting in your chair. They're sitting in your chair because they're going through some kind of transition, whether a divorce or cancer. They need to feel better about themselves. I was like, I got this then. Now the first week, I'd be sitting there putting the makeup on. And I would be envisioning putting a permanent marker all the way up because I was so hateful. And I could just see me putting her eyebrows all the way to the top of her. I could just see it. I just, About a week and a half later, I started walking out of that place with my little blue polyester suit. And I look horrible in blue. So he, all the way down to the very details, mate, was laughing up in heaven. I got you. I got you, boo. I got you. Not being mean, because he had a purpose for where he was taking me. You're right now at CVS hating your job. You're going through bankruptcy, feeling so embarrassed. But you're right where you're supposed to be. And listen to me, you got to begin right now to prepare for what you're praying for. So I'd be up there doing that makeup. And I started realizing depression was leaving me for the first time in 36 years. All of a sudden, I was walking out of that place like I owned that joint. And I realized the reason we stay in our funk for so long is because we concentrate on our own situation. We're talking about how far we got to go instead of how far we've come. And so we're sitting there talking about, I lost this man. I ran this man off. My kids can't stand me. And you're just, instead of saying, I'm about to get better. I kept telling him, I'd look in that mirror and I'd say, God, let me love every bump, every cellulite. Let me love and embrace me. Because I knew whenever I started loving and embracing me, then that's when I would really get healed, because it didn't matter if nobody else liked me. I look at that beard like, girl, you so fine. I didn't believe it. But the more I started telling myself that, the more I started seeing myself out of my place. And I started realizing about a weekend, oh, yes, I was free. I was like loving this. Y'all, remember special ed, right? I was in special ed totally for all my life. I could not remember what I read at all. I failed every test. You put me in a pressured situation, and I'd be like, I couldn't remember nothing. Like everything was foreign. And so about 6 months into this job, they come in, they go, ma'am, you are doing such a good job. we're going to make you the counter manager. I said, no. Because in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know how I graduated. Like, I can't add. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, you don't want me to be your counter manager. I could sell all day long, but I can't add. I can't run no calendar. I can't. And she said, oh, well, we're going to move you up there. I said, all right. I did it. 6 months later, they come and say, girl, you are doing such a good job. Because you know why? I was starting to get healed. So now every person that got out of my chair, they got in my chair feeling like they could run through a troop and leap over a wall. They were realizing, honey, and I was realizing, oh, it could be so much worse. I could only not have lost a husband, but I could be losing my boobs to breast cancer. It can always be worse. At least I can move back in with my mom and daddy. Some other people are living in their cars. See, I was beginning to get grateful instead of hateful. 6 months later, they said, girl, you're doing such a good job. We have an opening at Bloomingdale's. I was like, boom, shakalaka, like, I'm going to Bloomingdale's. I can't afford no underwear, but I'm going to Bloomingdale's. I'm going from Kmart on crack to black and white towel. They give you like wine and cheese when you walk up in there. They should, because underwear costs $175. But I forgot that I had to drive one whole hour going to work in my hoop day. But I was just rejoicing. I got a job. I'm moving on up like the Jeffersons. So I start going 1 hour there and 1 hour back. And I start feeling a lot of faith in this season. Because I see what God's doing. I see where he's taking a girl that ran from him forever, and 1 ounce of obedience on my part was doing more for me than all the prayer in the world. I was realizing that I had a voice. I was realizing that people gave up on me, but God didn't. I was realizing all the quiet crickets that I was hearing, how I lost all my friends and all the church folk were talking about my divorce. I was realizing how the disappearance of them and me being blinded from them and me being blinded from what they were saying about me was all in God's plan. Because see, I wanted a break. I wanted somebody to save me. But God said, oh no, because what I'm about to do in your life, I'm going to get the glory. When I qualify you, when I turn the lights on in your life, buddy, everybody in the world is going to be going, who is that and where does she come from? I went, I got me preaching CDs. I bought Creflo Dollar. I bought T.D. Jakes. I bought Paula White. I bought Ron Carpenter. I got all these preachers that I love, right? And I'd get my car 1 hour going. I said, God, for one whole hour, as long as you got me in this, because by now I said, I ain't going to preach. I can't preach. I'd be cussing in my sermons. I still wasn't healed. So I'd put my preaching CDs on, and I'd hear T.D. Jakes, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Pause. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Play. He's coming into your life into this new season. You better get ready. Pause. He's coming into your life in this new season. I'm trying to hoop. Can't hoop. I heard the Lord say, girl, T.D. Jakes ain't going nowhere. You're just supposed to be getting Bible school through him. You stay in your lane. One whole hour going home, I'd be sitting in that car decreeing and declaring, realizing that I could prophesy to myself. I'd be going, Lord, I prophesy over myself, God, that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the top and not the bottom. I'm a lender and not a ball. Father, I'm going from the pit to the palace. I thank you, God, for favor. I thank you, Lord, that I'm so full of anointing and the Holy Ghost that when a mosquito bites me, he gets the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, I'm sitting on the side of the road every day because it's overheating. And it was usually in the afternoon because in the mornings, I guess it wasn't hot. I don't even know. I'd be going, sitting on the side of the road. Cars would be driving by. You got your phone. Let me hold it. All these cars were driving by. I'd be sitting on the side of the road. Now, I'm telling y'all something. I went from straight up pitiful to powerful because I decided I'm getting myself unstuck. Ain't nobody going to do it for me. I'm not getting married again until I get healed because I sure don't want no bozo. I want a Boaz, so I'm going to get myself right. So one whole hour going and one whole hour coming back. I just did nothing but allow it to be Bible school because, you know, the Bible says that many are called but few are chosen. That means the dream that's on the inside of you, God has a plan to make it come to fruition. You won't know how it's going to happen. You won't see it. You'll be like, God, I want a husband, but ain't nobody in my church because they all bald-headed. You know, I'm like bald-headed. I'm going to go on Tinker.com and eHarmony and try to help you out. No, you ain't got to do none of that because you serve a God that put the stars and the moon in 6 days into orbit. He can do anything but fail. and his timing is perfect. He's waiting on you. And I, one day I'm sitting on the side of the road. I used to get out of my car every time it overheat. I'm literally mad white woman. Stupid car! I realized this smoke didn't stop. And I stayed there. And my attitude stunk. And I was going to probably keep breaking down until I passed the test. So one day I'm driving home. By now, I'd just be like, I don't even care if it overheats. It gives me time to worship. I don't even care if it overheats. It gives me time to put some positive statuses up on. See, y'all waiting for a big platform. God's given you a big platform. That's Facebook status right there that you're in, that you're using every day of your life to talk about how horrible your ex is and talking about all this junk. It is a platform for you to be used of God. And you may not have a platform right now. You may be sitting in your mom and daddy's 10 by 10 bedroom having to start all over again. But God's given you an anointing. Open your mouth and use it. I'd be sitting on the side of the road and I'd be like, I don't care if I'm broke down. I'd be putting up a girl, you're gonna make it. God's got you. And all of a sudden I was realizing all these people were liking my status. I was like, what? Because I told God, I'm gonna tell everything. I'm gonna tell. I ain't gonna be ashamed. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you think I'm all terrible because I've been married twice. Look at me now. That's back then. There's some of you that are still allowing family members in your life to be in your VIP section, and they still talking about you for having a baby out of wedlock. And you're 50? You better start moving some of those people you got in your VIP section and helping God help you. And you need to move them to the balcony and say, watch me from a distance. Because where I'm going, if you don't celebrate me, you ain't gonna tolerate me. Bye, Felicia. I'd rather have four quarters and 100 pennies any day. You give me a few friends that can pray for me and prophesy over me when life knocks the wind out of me, whenever I feel like all failure, when I feel like I can't get up again. You give me a few friends that say, come on, girl. Come on, there's purpose in you. You may not can see it right now, but where God's taking you, when you decide, when he decides it's time for you to move, he's going to push you out of that cocoon position, that little caterpillar. You've been moving around like this forever. It's taking you forever. Nobody likes you. You're ugly. You're ugly inside. You're hairy on the outside. You're discombobulated. Oh, but honey, you're going from something ugly to something beautiful. The most beautiful thing on the planet is a butterfly. And it ain't just browns and taupes. It's magenta, hot pink, yellow, orange, turquoise. Because of the pressure that you've gone through, it's making you beautiful. We don't want to talk about being broken because everybody will talk about us. But beautifully broken is where God does his best work. So one day I'm sitting on the side of the road, and I'm telling y'all something. I would lay hands on myself. I'm telling y'all, it ain't nothing for you to see me going down the road to this day. Every 28 days, whenever my emotions are going crazy, and I can look at my husband and want to punch him in the throat, and he ain't even done nothing wrong. It ain't nothing for me to go, come out! Because I ain't going back there. Oh, I ain't going back to that girl. I ain't going to allow myself to stay depressed. Oh, I am not going back there. And I know the devil wants to take me out. Oh, but he should have taken me out when he could have, because I ain't scared of him. In fact, every night he's looking under his bed to see if I'm under there. He's scared. Because he can't touch this. Only way he can get you is by distracting you, making you fear. And what you fear comes upon you. You need to learn that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When those anxiety attacks are coming on your life, you have the power to lay hands on yourself and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me. Let me just tell you something. Y'all are fighting weapons that didn't even prosper. God saved you from those relationships. And you out there calling him and texting him a million times every day. Why are you trying to get somebody that don't want you? You're like praying, Lord, I'm standing in the gap for him. He coming back. He already married. He ain't coming back. Like, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You ain't got to take that crap anymore. Let it go. One day I'm sitting on the side of the road. This ain't really church. People are like, oh my God, she just said crap. It's not a cuss word. So one day I'm sitting on the side of the road and I hear the Holy Spirit say, Get your phone out. I'm a little old girl living in my mom and daddy's 10 by 10 bedroom, driving a hoopty, making $9 an hour, broke down on the side of the road. Lost my name, lost my credit, lost everything. But I can hear God. And I know right where I am is exactly where I'm supposed to be, Amy, or I wouldn't be there. So I hear him say, take your phone out. Now, y'all got to remember, I'm on 75, and all these cars are flying by me. Ain't nobody stopping to help me. And there's smoke coming out of my car, like barreling out of my car. And all I see is Broadway, a smoke machine. God is so awesome, he gave me my own smoke machine. See, it's all about perspective. I take my phone out, and I said, hello, awesome people. Are you sitting on the side of the road right now thinking God's forgot about you? Do you think he's blessing everybody but you? Oh, you better not give up. You better get up. Oh, baby, you better. You just wait. A new season is coming into your life. And I upload to YouTube. And I said, all right, devil, you keep me on the side of the road, and every time I'm on the side of the road, I'm putting up a video. Like, I was really thinking I was doing something big, right? Like, that's how I talked to him, like, Every day for 5 days, I sat on the side of the road. For 5 days, I put up another little three-minute inspirational video. Hello, awesome, and I will drive you nuts. I really will. Like, I'm loud, and I'm happy. And I look like I am on something. So on the fifth day, but this is the way you are when you've been depressed forever and God comes out on the scene. So by the fifth day, I was like, OMG, I got like 500,000 people following me. How did that happen? All of a sudden, my videos were going viral. And I would go home and I would look under the videos and they'd be like, why Xiaowei's in her car? Why Xiaowei's in her car? I'm like, because I broke down. I keep yelling because I know y'all are hot and you're sleepy. But I'm rolling this thing around, and when you walk out of here, you're going to feel like you can do anything but fail. And all of a sudden, I start getting phone calls. The little inbox is on my Facebook. And they said, Kimberly, we want to have you come preach. I was like, do you know I've been divorced? Yes, we went and Googled you. We want you to come to our church. I said, how did you hear about me? They said, well, we were just scrolling through the timeline, and we saw this crazy comic-looking woman with glasses and a mohawk, and you looked like you were smoking something. So we had to watch it, and by the time we turned it on, we felt like we could run through a triple leap over a wall. By the time you were done, we felt like you were a butterfly on our wall. We want you to come preach. I was like, oh, the enemy started getting me. He started saying, girl, you're special. You're special ed. You can't do this. If I would not have been in my car for 1 hour going and making that car my Bible school, I would have flopped, because many are called but few are chosen. If I would not have spent those 3 years in my car learning how to preach, learning the word of God, learning how to pray, learning how to take dominion, whenever I got up there to preach, I'd have fallen flat on my face and I wouldn't be back at an event the third time. But when you walk through something, you've got an anointing that you ain't even got to preach all that good, girl. All you got to do is have an anointing. There are tons of people that can get up here and hoop and say five things in their hoops. And the whole church falls out and shout, wah! And nobody's getting changed. There's a million people that can sing like crazy. Ain't got no anointing. You let somebody get up here with, hey, and they got an anointing, and you're like, wah! Because you feel the anointing on their life. That's why you walk through, and that's why you are walking through what you are going through. Because, honey, when I tell you, if you can ever get it together and get your mind right and renew your mind in God, what he's about to do. I got so excited when I started to get to go preach. I said, yes, yes, I get to quit. Play me down. I go full-time ministry. I heard the Lord say, nope. Those who are faithful in the little, I'm going to reward you with much. Nope, you got to stay there. Do not get weary in well-doing. I'm like, why do I got to go into Bloomingdale's after I preached all? And they treat you kind of good when you preach. Hey, you know, you got somebody like, walk. I can hold my own Bible. But you still got people like carrying it for you because it's what they called it. I'm like. And then all of a sudden, I got to go up in Bloomingdale's and be doing makeup with people. I would grumble and complain all the way. I stayed there for another 2 years while I was preaching. When my schedule started and God told me, he said, you stay faithful and you watch what I'm going to do in your life, boo. And all of a sudden, all these people were calling me and I was going to preach every weekend. And I walked into Bloomingdale, into the HR, and I said, I know y'all going to have to let me go because I need another date off. They said, oh, no, girl. Oh, no. We're going to work with your schedule. I'm like, no. You don't want to work with my schedule. Like, I'm never here. I go back in there and start. Those 58-year-old women, it is a proven fact that when you get a whole bunch of women in the same room, they all going to be on their periods at the same time. And I had 58 of them, right? They come in. She stole my customer. I'm like, come out. I was learning how to lay hands on people. What? But what I didn't realize was all of a sudden in Bloomingdale's, there was a revival starting. Because they had watched me being tore up from the floor up, driving home drunk like this because I was seeing double, partying with them, twerking on the bar. They saw me tore up. And then all of a sudden, they started watching what God was doing in my life. They started watching how fast it was happening. And atheists were coming to know Jesus. They'd come in my office, and all lunch, I would be giving them a Bible study of who Jesus was. And so it wasn't time for me to leave Bloomingdale's. That's why when God is in it, you ain't got to open one door. You ain't got to press your way in anywhere. If you got to press your way out, if you don't feel peace in your heart, you better not do it. You're like, I don't know if I should marry that man. No, you shouldn't if you're asking yourself. I don't know if I should take that job promotion. Well, then you ain't got no peace. You better not do it. Because God is a God of peace. God is not a God of chaos. I could have easily walked out of that place thinking I was all that. Yo, I would get in my car at lunchtime and I would have prayer meetings. I would get the 1-800 free call. 1,000 of you would be on that call with me. God started blessing everything I touched. I would get out, I'd pray the heavens down. I'd get out, dust myself off. Y'all didn't know I was working at Bloomingdale's. I'd go back into Bloomingdale's. I heard the Lord say, 2 years after I'd been traveling and working at Bloomingdale's, he said, girl, you can go give your 2-week notice. She would have thought the place was on fire. I ran to that HR so fast because I was thinking God's going to be like, psych. When I got in my car to go home that day, he said, Kimberly, because you were obedient, because you wanted to quit, because you didn't want to go back to that stupid job 9 to 5. You were tired of driving that 1 hour going and 1 hour coming home. You were worn out and you still did it with a grateful heart. You still listened to me. And because of that, watch what I'm about to do. You better put your seatbelt on because I'm about to reveal you. You thought the curtain in your life, because a curtain had closed in your life, that the production was over. But baby, God had to close the curtain to set up for the next scene. You thought that that bankruptcy was going to take you out. You thought that divorce was going to take you out. You thought you were going to die with your son on an attic and not knowing where he was at. Oh, but you made it. And you're going to make it. He said, because you were obedient. He said, I'm about to completely book your calendar. And you'll never have to ask for one date ever. And not just book you, you're going to be in 2 and 3 states. I leave here in the morning for New York. I'm go home Sunday to preach at my church, and I'll be back out to Texas on Monday. Because people need deliverance. If we understand that it's not about going to church and just letting somebody lay hands on you, we can lay hands on you all day long. But unless you have a heart posture to want to help God help you, to help God change you, then nothing's going to change. You come up here every single service time, and you're like, I need a financial miracle. But you won't even answer the 1-800 number calls that are calling your house wanting you to pay a debt. How can God give you a debt consolidation if you ain't going to help him by picking up the phone? You ain't paying your tithe? Am I with my divorce, Pastor? I lost my name. I owed a ton of money. And I mean, I lost my cars. And we had these 800 number calling us all the time. And my heart would be going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like this dude could steal my birthday. Yeah. And finally, I heard the Lord say, answer it. I picked up the phone. He said, ma'am, do you know that you owe blah, blah, blah? I'm like, yes, I do. When are you going to pay it? When you give me a loan to pay it off. Because I don't want you to call me anymore. He's like, okay, ma'am, what can you do? I said, $5. He said, cool. 2 months later, I got a bill in the mail that said debt consolidated. Because I helped God help me. And God spoke to me and he said, you're about to write a book. And he said, I want you to put in that book every single thing about your life. Because I don't want you to fear your ex coming back up and talking about you. I don't want nothing to be able to hinder you from doing what I want you to do in your life. I don't want nobody to hinder you. They're going to be Googling you. And when they Google you, I want everything to already be told. I want it to be out of your mouth. And because you were obedient and stayed at Bloomingdale's and did what I wanted you to do, everything that you do, I'm going to bless and prosper. You will never have to have one preacher push your book. You'll never have to have one preacher help you do nothing. I will open the windows of heaven. My book sold $35,000 in my pre-sale. I'm watching the names come in. This special ed, I was like, you do realize that I run on sentences. Like, God, you want me to write a book? And I can't even put punctuations in. He said, write it. And when I started writing that book, do you remember when he said he's going to vindicate you? I started looking at all the names coming in, Pastor. And I started realizing all the people buying that book was all them haters. And I was like, won't he do it? Like, I know they were buying my book to see if their name was in it. But they were funding my ministry. And that's what God told me he was going to do. He said, I'm going to bless everything that you do. I'm going to endorse everything that you do. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you walked in with. I don't know what you're staring at. I don't know the court case that you're fighting. I don't know the creditors that are calling your phone, but I do know that God knows exactly where you are. And just as he has blessed me in the years, the 2 years, y'all, I walked out of Bloomingdale's 2 years ago. And in 2 years, I've had a bestseller. In 2 years, I've gotten a brand new car. I ain't driving no hooped in. It's paid off. I got a new beautiful house. I pastor an amazing church. And they ain't even getting a salary from the church. I'm that blessed because I was obedient in my darkness, in my destitution city. Because I praised him in the storm. Because I didn't look at how far I had to go. I prophesied where I was. I went through life laying hands on myself because I couldn't let go of that man. But I realized I had to be intentional. I had to be intentional about every time I would start going back to my past and remembering my past and remembering my pain. I would lay hands on myself and I would say, renew my mind, God. So I don't know what you are staring. I don't know if you face depression. You feel stuck. Anybody in here feel stuck? Just stuck. Y'all all lying. Y'all are lying. Y'all like, you barely could get in the house today because you've been so broken. What is revealed out of the darkness that you've been hiding is when God will begin to heal you. When you finally stop being ashamed and you begin to open your mouth and you begin to talk about it. You begin to talk about where you've been. You don't let that abortion hold you down. You don't let knowing you probably drove that last man off. Yo, I'm telling you, I was single for 6 years. I was traveling all over the world. And I finally one night in my prayer closet, I said, God, now I love being single. I was free. I could buy shoes and didn't have to tell nobody. I could go shopping and didn't have to tell nobody when I was coming home. And one night in my prayer, I heard the Lord say, I said, Lord, when you're ready, I'm ready for my husband. I heard him say, girl, he's ready, but you ain't. Wow. I was like, what? Who was that? I'm preaching all over the world, telling people how to do it. He said, he's ready, but you ain't. He said he's been praying for you for the last 6 years. How ironic that when I started going through my divorce, this man started having prayer meetings every night for his wife, praying for me, turning candles and worship music on, praying for me. I used to would have died for my ex-husband to say, girl, I love you. I'm so proud of you. Have I told you today how proud I am of you? Have I told you how lucky I feel to be married? I would die for that, and I never got it. And in that prayer closet that night, he said, he's ready, but you ain't. I was like, what? He said, I said, what? Because you know when God starts telling you something, you know something's about to happen. You're like, oh. I was like, dude, I can feel his arms around me. I was like, this dude, he's. And I was like, God, what? He said, your mouth. Your mouth. If I brought this man into your life right now, you would demasculate him. You would make sure he knew that you had your own ministry before he came in. You would let him know that you were all that in a bag of chips. And anytime he didn't do something you wanted him to do, you will cut him down. My heart began to break. And I'm telling you something. I literally was like, ah! I was laying hands on my tongue. Laying hands. I did not want to be that way. Within 10 months, I met and married my husband. And God set me up. Because so many times we miss out on a blessing because it's not packaged the way we thought. We're walking around saying, there ain't no good men left in the world. It's because you ain't a good woman yet. It's because God wouldn't bring a good man into you. That good man wouldn't look at you. You are tore up from the floor up and dramatic. And any man that is anointed and got God in his life, he ain't going to be playing with you, boo. He's focused and going forward. Within 10 months, my husband lived in San Diego. And God set me up with this little old man, 15 years older than me. And he's bald-headed, and I don't like bald-headed men. So he totally set me up. I didn't think anything was wrong with me letting this daddy call me. He was a preacher, and I'm thinking, he's safe. He's old. That's what he had to set me up. And he called me. By the third call, I started thinking, whew, I miss him. See, because that's what God does. When it's time, he starts getting your heart shifted. He starts putting your heart in the right place. And I was like, oh, I miss him. So he calls me. He's 3 hours ahead of me, 3 hours behind me. I would talk to this man till 5 o'clock in the morning, and I hate the phone. And on the third phone call, I heard the Lord say, girl, he's about to set you up. You better just get ready. He says, why you need God? He said, you better be ready about this phone call is about to happen. I was like, oh, what in the world? Is he going to like confess his love to me after three phone calls? No, he didn't do that. He called and he said, Kimberly, he said, the Lord wanted me to call you and have you pray over me. And I heard the Holy Spirit, because if they don't pray, they can't stay. If they don't pray, they can't stay. If they don't pray, they can't stay. What? I realized it didn't matter how much he loved me. If Bay couldn't pray, I was never getting another phone call. So I was like, Father, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy over this man of God that he is awesome, that he is amazing, that his business is booming. I heard the Lord say, you'll be married. Just watch and see. When I got done.